good to go. Okay, so first, let's see, interviewer. My name is Megan Shea Keenan, and it's April 11th, 2009, and I'm interviewing Peggy Joyce Parker. Okay. And we're in the Gainesboro Library. Yeah. So, first question. Where and when were you born?
I was born in Lenoir County, North Carolina, 9/16/43. That's a little town about 13 miles from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Okay. How long have you lived in Roanoke?
Since 72. So that's been, what, 37? About 37 years. Wow.
What streets did you, or neighborhoods did you live in?
13th Street Southwest.
Yep. Tell me about your parents and brothers and sisters.
Well, my parents are deceased, Lois and Ben Frank Sutton. I have my older sister is deceased, Gertrude Lewis. My brother is deceased, Jerry Sutton. And it's just myself and our baby sister, Christine Stanley.
Okay. Did you have extended family members living nearby?
No.
What was your house like here in Roanoke? Was it brick? Did you have a garden?
Well, the first house I lived in was brick. I did have a garden. The house I moved from the break of the hill to the top of the hill on the same side of the street, same street, and I did have a garden. I had a garden for about 10 years, yield a lot of vegetables. It was soothing, relaxing, and hard work, but it yields a lot of vegetables.
Did your kids help you in the garden?
Yes.
What kind of activities did you participate in?
Now, well, I walk when I can. I have problems with my back, and at times it won't let me walk. But I love to walk, and I love my yard. So I do a lot of yard work.
Mm-hmm. What kind of activities did you participate in when you first moved here?
Oh, gosh. Well, I worked. I was active in the neighborhood. As a matter of fact, my house was the neighborhood house. I had everybody's kids. And at that time, the parents were truly involved with their children because, you know, after work and after dinner, you know, we were all get in the street. We would play with the kids or we'd go to the park and we would have football games, baseball games. It was just joy.
Mm-hmm. So the neighborhood kind of all hung out together?
Yes, yes.
What kind of work did you do?
I was in healthcare. I worked at community hospital for 35 years, 2 months, and 2 days.
What did your husband do?
Well, he was in law enforcement. First, he was on the sheriff department, and then when they came with the youth facility, he was the first employee, actually, of Sanctuary, which was located on Campbell Avenue. And from there, when they built the new sanctuary down at Bonsack, he went to, the name of the facility just went out of my mind. Well, it was the facility for the kids that were in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about your kids?
Well, they're all grown. The oldest one lives in Newport. The second child lives in Maryland, the third one in Richmond, and my daughter lives here in Roanoke.
Okay, what does she do here?
She works for Donex.
So let's see. Now the next set of questions is about education. So what was your school life? Oh, well, actually, did you attend school here? You were probably past that. What
Oh, I
years?
was way past that. I attended school in North Carolina, graduated from high school in North Carolina.
Okay. Did you or anyone in your family attend college?
My youngest son, stepson, did attend
Where did he go?
in North Carolina, Greenville, North Carolina.
So let's see. Describe your home life, for instance. Did you gather around the radio in the evening? Do you remember when you got a telephone or a refrigerator, etc.?
Oh gosh. Well, we only had radio back in my growing up days. And yes, after all the chores were done and we had supper, we would gather around the radio and listen to Amos and Andy. That was the main thing. We got our first television in 1954. That was a long time. Well, we didn't have a telephone in growing up. I'm a country girl. So, we didn't have all of that. Well, telephones were few and in between back in those days.
Did you sit on the porch in the evening?
Oh. We didn't do a lot of sitting on the porch because we played. But my parents did. They would all, after supper, they would sit on the porch. Now, every Saturday afternoon, the families were very oriented. We would have a baseball game every Saturday afternoon. And that was between, well, a few friends, but mostly family members. And that was an exciting time, including the children. You know, they were split up among the teams. But that was our recreation back in those days.
Did you was that like an all-day activity? Was there like baseball? Did you guys eat together afterwards or?
Every weekend, family members would come together. Maybe this weekend, dinner would be at our house, and every family would bring dishes. And we would just set the long table, and everybody would sit around the table and have dinner. And the next weekend, it would move to another relative's house. And we did that in all of my growing up days. It was really great. And I guess that's one of the things that really kind of bothers me today. It's not that family oriented. You know, so many of the kids today don't know who their family members are. And to me, that's a very sad thing.
Why do you think that is? That's actually a really common theme when talking to people about, their past or what's going on.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because, things are going so fast now. They move so fast. And I can't say that it's all children, parents now, that was not raised oriented to their family members. I don't know why, but today it seems like most of the kids are just you know, once they get a little age on them, it's more like they are raising themselves. It's like either the parents are going from job to job and the kids are more or less raising themselves. I really don't understand it. But, you know, in every family, it should be that quality time with family members, and especially the children. And I don't see that a lot today.
Yeah.
I just don't see that. And it's kind of hard for me to comprehend it.
Especially comparing to the Saturday baseball games.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Did you do the Saturday baseball games when you were a kid or with your kids here?
Both.
Okay.
When I was a kid growing up, and even when we located here, you know, we were family. We had that quality time. You know, there were chores, there were things that the kids had to do, but still, we had that quality time. We do either touch football in the street or we go to the park and we would have baseball games, cookouts. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful.
You mentioned chores. What kind of chores did you and your family do? Did you have your kids do?
Well, each week, we had a board. And I would assign the chores for each child for that week. The next week, the chores would rotate, whether it was washing dishes, taking out the trash. And the main thing was everyone was to keep their room clean, neat. You know, your dirty clothes in the proper place, not just thrown in the corners or all over the floor. Those rooms had to be neat. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, was a good teaching tool.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let's see. What, do you have any family stories that were passed down from generation to generation?
Well, from my family, mm-hmm. Oh gosh, it go way back. Well, the main story from generation, and this was passed down from generation, was family oriented. Now I don't remember my grandfather on my mom's side, because he passed when my mom was 16 years old. But I did have the pleasure to know my grandmother and my great-grandmother. Now, on my dad's side, I didn't know my grandmother. She passed before I was ever thought about. But I did have the pleasure of knowing my grandfather. Now, past my grandfather, I didn't know any of my father's, you know, grandparents or great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. But even back in the day, now, I was raised on a farm. And it wasn't a lot of money back then. We raised all of our vegetables. We had fruit trees. We raised pigs. We raised the beef. We had chickens, geese, ducks, you name it, dogs, cats, we had it. But, you know, it was hard work, even as a child growing up. But, you know, I wouldn't take back any of it because it was a teaching tool. You were taught how to survive. You know, the vegetables was canned, the fruits were canned. You know, we had food to last. Just money was little, but what you had went a long ways. You could take a nickel and you can buy a lot of stuff for a nickel. You can't even get what you could buy for a nickel for a dollar today. You know, this is a time when, you know, everything is different from back then. You have more money, more jobs. You didn't have a lot of jobs back then, public jobs. It was a lot of farming back then. But you were taught to survive.
Speaking about jobs, did you have any spouse or siblings or children serve in the military?
My husband was retired military. Now, my oldest son was military. He was in for 17 years. And he had to be discharged because of health. The second boy was military. The youngest, he sort of ran from it.
Did your family have stories or memories during the Civil War or about slavery?
Well, my great-grandmother would tell us some about slavery. I guess maybe she was her parents were in the slavery times, and she would tell us about what her parents had told her about slavery. That was, well, it's something, and I know, you know, it's been exposed in history to a lot of kids, a lot of people. Now you have movies out on it, and you know, it's kind of heartbreaking. Not kind of, it is heartbreaking. But it has grown from slavery a lot. But even at that, you know, there, I don't know, sometimes it seems better, and then sometimes they kind of slip back. But, you know, it's just something that we have to pray about, you know, and keep going, keep living.
On a lighter note, do you have any family recipes that you pass through generations?
Well, I do. There was one especially that I really like, and it's called a Japanese fruit cake. Now, my mom and my grandmother, my great-grandmother, great-aunts, they would start around Thanksgiving making their fruit cakes. And those fruit cakes, they would... In bourbon, they would... sherry, they would soak those fruit cakes all the way up to Christmas time. Man, were they delicious. Now, the Japanese fruit cake was a little different. They didn't soak that, but God, is it a cake.
Let's see. What businesses and shops did your family frequent? In Roanoke?
Well, Lowe's is one that they frequent a lot. Well, the regular stores, it was just, my kids loved them all.
Are there any stores that you used to go to a lot when you first moved here that aren't there anymore?
Yeah, that's Woodworth, Cress's. Now, I kind of love those stores because they had a lot of unusual things there. Milling Rose, Leggett's. Those were the main stores. Hieronymus. Loved Hieronymus. Truly hated to see those stores go out, though. But it was a joy because we would get up on Saturday morning and we would get all the chores done. Saturday afternoon, we would walk downtown and we would walk the shops, walk the markets, and that was their treat for the weekend on Saturdays. Sunday, it was Sunday school and then church service. Sunday afternoon, that was when the kids did what they wanted to do. And then sometimes on Saturday, instead of going downtown, they would want to go to a movie. So once their chores was done, I would take them to the movies and leave them and go back and pick them up. It was just fun.
Do you have, what's your fondest childhood memory? Like a favorite holiday event or a family vacation?
Oh, well, the vacations were out back then, but Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. That was my favorite holidays. And strangely enough, even back then, we didn't get a lot of toys. We had plenty to eat. We had plenty of fruits, nuts. If we got one toy, we were joyed, overjoyed. And then we were taught the true reason for Christmas. It wasn't all about gifts or toys, but the gift of Christ. And we were taught that all through childhood. And I taught my children that, gifts are nice, but your true gift is Jesus Christ. This is the reason for the season.
Can you describe cultural events that happened in Roanoke? For example, do you remember any entertainers who came to perform or attending local fairs or sports games?
Well, now when you ask me about names, I can't hold names anymore. But yeah, events. My kids were very athletic. They were into sports. We would attend football games, basketball games. We would attend the fairs, and now they love that.
What were the fairs like?
We would attend the little fairs like they would have in Salem at the Civic Center and the Civic Center here in Roanoke. But we never ventured out to the West Virginia Fair. Now, when I was growing up, we had a huge fair in Goldsboro that we would attend every year. The state fair was held in Raleigh. We would also attend that. But they would go to the festival in the park. And the when the Henry Street Festival came, it was really out of sight. And Henry Street, when I first came to Roanoke, was it was a whopping, bumping street. Now, that was a street that my husband and I, on weekend night, Saturday night, Friday night, We would frequent a lot. And especially the 301 Club. We loved that club. But I mean, it was very entertaining. And I really miss it. That it's no longer existing. And somehow, when they started having the Henry Street Festival in Elmore Park, it just really took something away from me. Because it started out on Henry Street. It was great. I've attended a few times in Elmwood Park, but it's just not the same, so I don't frequent it much anymore.
Mm-hmm. What was the Henry Street Festival like?
Well, it was... It had a lot of people were there. They had the little booths of different things. You had a lot of African things, whether it be statues or purses or jewelry or attire. You had a little bit of everything. You had sweatshirts, you had t-shirts. It's more or less the same as they have now in the Elmwood Park. But I don't know. I don't know. I guess it was just the love of Henry Street that has just really taken its thing out for me. It was music. You had performers. It was just great. It was just great.
Who are some strong community leaders? And what role did they play?
Well, there was the principal at the Herk Park School, Mr. Chubb. He was a strong figure at the school, in the neighborhood. And believe me, I think he knew every kid in the school and the parents. He didn't just, you know, give his all at school. He gave in the neighborhoods too. And he was really a strong figure. Now, as far as, now back in the day, we had a neighborhood watch. But it kept going, and then it would break. It kept going, and then it would break. But there are strong figures now. We do have a neighborhood allowance, and Jimmy Cook is the president of that. But it's going pretty strong, and it's has held pretty strong since it's been back up. And this came back, and it actually started back up in 90, but I didn't get involved in it again until 95. But it's been pretty strong since then. We've lost a lot of strong members that's deceased in that time, but we're working real hard now trying to get membership up, get the neighborhood back really involved in it. But
who were your role models?
Well, my pastor, for one, that's L.A. Lewis. King Javi, he's a member at Jerusalem Baptist Church. He's a great, great man.
How has Roanoke changed over the years?
Well, when I first located here, The Herk Park neighborhood was a beautiful, beautiful area. It was immaculate. Patterson Avenue was just a picture. Even on back through the Jackson Avenue area, when I first moved on 13th Street, there were the McCaddens, the Bennetts, the Tollivers, the Owens, and the Parkers. Actually, we were the only ones that had children on that street, and the rest of them were widowers. We did have a few that, you know, were couples, but had no children that was still living. And, you know, everybody kept the property up, the property clean. It was like manicured. And once they deceased, you know, the ones that had children, the children didn't take pride in the property. They just sold, actually, practically gave it away. And when it went to rental property, that's when the Herk Park neighborhood really went down. And as you can look at Patterson Avenue now, there's a few houses here and there that has really been kept up. But the most of them has gone to rent a property, and they've gone down. And my hope is that we can get this neighborhood back up to what it was when I moved here, at least to that. You get the beauty back. Mm.
Okay, so talking about jobs, I guess, switching gears. Do you remember the closing of the silk mills?
No, that was before my time.
Okay. What jobs were available for men and women in Roanoke when you moved here?
When I moved here, almost any job you wanted. Now, when I located here, the pet dairy was still in existence. Because I used to go there all the time, and, you know, I would buy ice cream, and we would have ice cream parties. But actually, in that area, the pet dairy is the only thing that I really remember. And that was one thing I hated to see go out. It was disappointing.
Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would like to share with us?
Well, no. Not that I can think of.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking with me today.
You're welcome. Like I say, I didn't have a lot of history, just bits and pieces, but...